your energy level and health are not where they should be, tune into Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley. Our program will showcase experts from the field of energy medicine. And most importantly, we'll show you how to repattern and optimize your energy flow for optimal health and wellness. Now, here is Dr. Ann Deatley.
You have tuned in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Deatley, the Radiant Energy Doctor. Energy medicine is a method of working with the body's energy systems to help create balance for optimal health and wellness. Remember, everything is energy, and energy is everywhere. Energies control how you feel, what you think, and how you live. Energy is all there is. Today's topic is spiritual energy. Living with gratitude and awake to life's abundance helps to create a meaningful life. With such a focus, being present to the sacredness of the everyday tunes one into spiritual energy. And spiritual energy heightens one's awareness so that one can begin to understand the truths of one's life, to begin to know the unique and authentic self. Connecting with spiritual energy helps us to live radiantly. There is a deep wisdom in the inner self, in the heart. There are ways to access this wisdom that can open the heart more fully and help one discover one's purpose, a meaning in life. This sacred journey of finding one's way has three interwoven strands that we call willingness, attentiveness, and responsiveness. As we engage with them, we are energized for living abundantly and radiantly. My honored guest today is Nancy Bieber. Nancy Bieber is the author of Decision Making and Spiritual Discernment, The Sacred Art of Finding Your Way. She is a psychologist, teacher, spiritual director, and retreat leader. She writes out of her many years' experiences of working with people, offering insights, exercises, and guidance, along with the stories of decision-making journeys. Nancy, a Quaker, is on the staff of Oasis Ministries for Spiritual Development and developed their program, Contemplative Living and the Spirituality of Daily Life. Living in rural Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, she is a passionate gardener and loves traveling and hiking with her husband, Larry. Her website is www.nancybieber.com. That's www.nancybieber.com. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you very much, Anne. I'm glad to be here with you.
Oh, we are so pleased that you are here and to open up this spiritual energy discussion. Why don't we tell the listeners how you came to be a spiritual director and how has that changed your life?
Well, that's a good question because that has a lot to do with listening to what's moving within. I was a psychologist for many years. And after a while, I came to feel that this was not all that I was meant to be doing. Sitting with people, listening to them, being problem-focused was good and worthy work, and I felt good about it. But I was letting out something that was really important, and that was the spiritual element. So after a lot of pondering, I attended a program, Shalem Institute, where a two-year program which trained spiritual directors. And now I am meeting with people one-to-one, just as I was. We are sometimes focusing on problems, but we're focusing overall on any area of the life of one's life where there is a real sense of divine energy working. Some people say divine energy, some people talk about God, but it is a sense of how is my life being shaped? How am I invited to shape my life here? So I find that working in spiritual direction is not unlike working as a therapist, but I am more of a listener and a companion to their journeys. I have suggestions for them. But in this ancient tradition of spiritual direction, it is not a problem-focused way of being with people. It is looking at all of one's life and looking for the divine energy and love that's there.
Wow, that's beautiful. And I love that concept that you said, that you're a companion. So it's like you're walking their path with them, at least a part of it.
Yes, that's right. One of the things that I think people don't realize about the spiritual work is that one can be a companion for someone in this way. For many years, I have had people that I've met with for probably 10 years, generally meeting with someone in as a spiritual director or companion is not like a weekly session. It's less frequent. And the traditional way of doing it is to meet once a month and reflect on how the spirit is unfolding in one's life and what are the pulls and what are the rocky or troubled portions of one's life. But I'm a companion that gives an opportunity to reflect on the last month.
Oh, that's beautiful. And so you help people to actually stay tuned or listen for how or observe yeah. how the spirit is moving with them in their lives.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really an important part of it, is that my time with them is a time for pausing, for reflecting. And sometimes if the person's having a hard time stopping talking and telling me all about it, in fact, just this morning, I said, let's be silent for a minute. And I want you to tell me, what are the themes that have risen again and again for you over these last weeks? And we were silent, and together we listened, and the person came up with something very clear. There are new invitations that are coming, new opportunities, and I'm really frazzled because I'm not sure which ones to do. It's been so long since people have called up and asked me for my help in something. So that the sense of entering a different stage, one mm-hmm. in which there was going to be more involvement in the future than there had been in the past in the community around them, was one that she really needed to pause and reflect on what was it that was making her so frazzled about all these different things happening at once.
Wow. That's, yeah. So just but go was, into, yeah.
Pause that was important.
Mm. Yeah, the being, instead of focusing on the construction and the creating of the future. And yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about your book. Let's get right into your book. Okay. I think it's great. And so let me just say, the book is called Decision Making in Spiritual Discernment, The Sacred Art of Finding Your Way. And if anybody is interested, it is available in bookstores in paper or ebook form, and you can get it from, I guess, a publisher, Skylight Paths.
That's right. You can contact them at skylightpaths.com.
Very good. So in the book, it's organized really with three main concepts or themes that are interwoven together, and these interact on most spiritual journeys, or probably all spiritual journeys, and these are willingness, attentiveness, and responsiveness. So maybe you could explain the significance of these concepts in the sacred art of finding your way.
Yeah, I really think they are essential. I picture them as three strands that we braid together. And you know how a braid goes. You have three strands and you take turns folding one and then the other side and then the other one into the middle. So it's a constantly shifting kind of attention on which one gets in the middle, gets in the center. But you don't finish with one, so that your willingness is first, your attentiveness is second, and then you step out and respond. They're all interwoven. Very briefly, willingness means our openness to receiving more wisdom and guidance than we might have within ourselves, being in tune with that divine energy, and also letting that rise from within us, which would be the pausing. Often our willingness we struggle with a lot because of our fears. We're afraid to step forward, and we're afraid to open ourselves to receiving what might be a little to take a step. So that's very briefly willingness. The theme of attentiveness is really noticing what can help us find our way. Often we don't, we're not fully awake to all the different ways and of making decisions, all the different aspects of it. And one of the things that I do in my book is give lots and lots of exercises that help to help people to focus on what they can find that will bring them to a place of clarity where they can say, yes, this is the path that's open for me now. And the third one, to speak very briefly of it, is responsiveness. And responsiveness, I break into two parts. One is the one that we usually think of, that is stepping forward. You know, that's what you see when people have made a decision. The other one, however, is a time of waiting. When you know what the decision might be, you know what the next step might be, but it's not time yet, and so you have to wait. So the three themes I look on, the willingness is kind of the foundation. You need a strong foundation as you discern your way forward. Attentiveness is at the heart. We really need to pay attention to notice both the facts and the intuitions, what our body's telling us, what our emotions are telling us, what our community is bringing to the decision of what the next step is, and then the responsiveness, which is very simply stepping forward sometimes, taking that step into a decision, into a new pattern for living, or waiting. And there can be times for both of them. So that's the book in a nutshell. There are returning again and again to each one as you find your way.
And that's beautiful. The braid metaphor is really great for, especially for visual people to understand. You know, it's just it's actually a flow.
Yes, it is.
You know, a flow from one to the other, and you could even skip over, you know, if there's an order, you just, you know, they don't have any order. They just, whatever's presenting at the time, you just go with that.
That's right.
And that's beautiful. And that's sort of, I was thinking when you were talking about the attentiveness, and that's really what your session with that woman this morning was. You know, she just needed to really be attentive. Mm-hmm. Because, and clarity. Clarity is so important, I think, in anything we're doing. Because if we don't know what we're doing or where we're going, we're sure not going to get there.
There's many ways of getting pieces of clarity.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to collect a lot of pieces before you can have the whole picture. And one of the exercises that I have is considering what season of life are you in now? And what are both the opportunities, invitations, and limitations in the present seasons of life? Because that, looking at what is real, what is really true, is an important part of finding your way. It's also one of the things that sometimes people want to avoid because it's hard to look at what's real. I one of my favorite sayings is that God deals with what is real and not what you would like to have be true, not what used to be true, well, not what may be true in the future, but what is real right now. And attentiveness means looking at that.
Yeah, being in the present moment.
Yes.
With whatever you're trying to discern. So maybe, you know, let's talk about spiritual discernment, because I think that's a word that people may not be so familiar with.
Right. Yeah.
And in your title, you separate that from decision making. So.
Mm-hmm. I think decision making, I mean, we're all familiar with that, but often, and I'm going to quote a sentence from my book here, to make wise decisions, we need the aid of that wise and loving spirit whose wisdom and light are greater than our own. And when we have that kind of divine energy illuminating the complexities of our decision, we can see and understand, you know, more about ourselves and our choices. So spiritual discernment is the process of opening our lives and decisions to the great wisdom and being attentive to what we see with the aid of that great wisdom, of that divine light. One of my favorite stories about this is that is about my husband, actually. He dresses up to go to work, and he wears either black socks or very, very dark navy socks. Now, I will do the laundry and I'll fold some and put it away, but he gets to sort his socks because I can't really get them right. And what he has discovered is that in the evening, if he's trying to sort his socks, electrical light is not strong enough for him to tell the difference between black and very, very dark navy. So that he needs morning sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by kind of a brighter light to mm-hmm. illuminate the parts of our lives, the nudges we might feel inside ourselves, like, I always wanted to do this, I feel it's in me, but I've always been afraid. So we need something that's a little brighter light, a little bit a stronger energy than mm-hmm. carry around. And that, tapping into that, is spiritual discernment.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I love that. And the story with the socks is wonderful, because it is really hard. Colors are...
I've told that story a number of different places, and inevitably some man comes up to me and says, you know, that's true.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that might block people from spiritual discernment. I mean, we talk about it as such a beautiful thing, but clearly not everybody is using this process for their lives, and but there may be a reason why not. And what would you say?
Well, I think we're coming to the point to talk about fear then. And some of the fear pieces are, you know, fear of success or fear of failure. It is not easy to simply open yourself and say, I will see what happens. And one of my stories about myself is that I had been afraid for a long time to try writing. I've always been drawn with a love of words, and I've written a little bit of poetry and things like that, but I never really wanted to take on the question of, if you tried, Nancy, what could you write? So it was a very hard thing for me to overcome. I had a friend one time who said to me, after listening for quite a while to my hesitations and hemming and hawing, he said, Nancy, just get out there and fail, will you? And really what he was trying to do was free me from the fear of failure.
Mm.
Sometimes we're afraid to trust that there is a divine light or energy that can bring us anything more. And we're afraid of where it will take us if we open ourselves to it.
Yeah, sometimes it's a fear of success, too.
It can be a fear of success. I think there can be ways in which our past experiences, you know, whether it's childhood or kinds of traumas, that limit us, put us in boxes. And that can prevent us from from stretching. We may be in a place that's too small for who we were meant to be.
Yeah, and so we can't break through.
It's hard to break through. One of the exercises that I have in my book is called the Room of Fear, and it invites you to, in your imagination, to create a house in which different parts of you live, and or different experiences you've had live, and without entering the room where fear dwells, you're invited to look into the room, acknowledge that it's still there, but to say to yourself as often as you need, I don't live there anymore.
Mm.
And I've had a number of people who've told me those words were very powerful. People who'd been victims of abuse, who had done some good work at overcoming it, but still found that it had a grip on them that was pretty powerful. That this sense of having a way of looking at it and just from the doorway, and you're not stepping into it and saying, yeah, that's still there, but I don't live there anymore.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Okay, we have to break for a commercial. We'll be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Join Patricia Raskin, the host of Positive Living, on VoiceAmerica.com, Monday at 11 Pacific. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call to Positive Living, Mondays at 11 Pacific time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus,
creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson in The Sea Around Us said,
all at last return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end.
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth. Tune in Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Green Talk Network.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
You have tuned in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and we are here talking with Nancy Bieber, and we're talking about spiritual energy. And she's written a book called Decision Making and Spiritual Discernment. Okay, Nancy, let's talk about contemplative awareness.
Oh, that's one of my favorite subjects, actually. I believe that contemplative awareness is a part, or can be a part, of everyone's everyday life. Contemplative simply means to be awake to now. And you know that's all we have is this present moment. The awareness of it, however, can be a really powerfully energizing experience. There's a wonderful story told of the Buddha that one time someone saw him sitting, standing, and he looked so different from other people that they asked him, are you a god? And then he said, no. Are you an angel? No. Well, are you even a man? And the reply was, I am awake. Being awake to what you can notice in everyday life simply means that you are then putting yourself in relationship with what is there with you. You are awake to the out of doors. If you're out of doors, you're awake to other people. If you're with other people, you're awake to a conversation on the radio, if that is what your reality is at the moment. And that brings a deeper, fuller living. I had an experience some years ago where I was shoveling my neighbor's driveway with her. Now, that may not be too unusual, but she was 80. Sweet, sweet woman. And after we finished shoveling her driveway, she invited me into her kitchen for a cup of coffee. And in my area of the country, in Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania Dutch area, we have a pie called shoofly pie. She had just baked one. So we were sitting around sharing shoofly pie and coffee. And all of a sudden, something clicked for me. And it was like I woke up. I could truly see her. I really was tasting the pie. I was aware of the tingling in my toes as they were beginning to warm up. And that I felt I was living a deeper, fuller, richer life. I think your word would be radiant. There's a real power to being able to live contemplatively. And Thomas Merton had an experience in which he, the famous Catholic writer, was in Louisville, Kentucky, standing on a street corner one day. And as he wrote it in his book, he said, all of a sudden, I woke up and I looked around and I saw these people. And he said, there's no way to tell people that they are all shining. I love that because it says he was really seeing into people. Contemplative living opens you to that kind of energy.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love that because then your life is enriched. You're not rushing to the next thing. You're actually savoring the experience that you're having. You're noticing and you're going deep with it. And I think another aspect of this is surrendering action or surrendering, well, actually there's two steps, surrendering actions and surrendering the outcome of the actions. And when you've given that up completely, you know, like instead of controlling your life, you just let it unfold. It's not like you're drifting. You do have a direction, but you're letting it unfold as it naturally does. And you're paying attention, so I think you're attentive and you're certainly willing. And then you're able to respond.
From a point of freedom.
From a point of freedom and not control.
That's right. Control really comes when our ego wants to manage everything, wants it all to turn out well. And I think as we can, we have egos, they're good things, but we don't want to give them too much power. Because having ourselves be freer means that we can say, I am here, I'm going to offer what I have to offer, or I'm going to follow this path because it seems like the wise one, and then let go of it, let it unfold.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay. And the thing about the contemplative living, I know how hard it is to do what I was encouraging my person this morning to do, which was to pause. So I've worked with a lot of people, helping them find ways of building a pause into their time when they are not with me. But I really think that stop, even if it is a stop, to your mental gymnastics, simply saying, okay. And then once you have made the stop, the pause, then you can notice what there is to notice. So I've kind of developed a practice of making it three steps. First, you stop, and you build that into your life in any way you can. It may be a stop of 2 minutes. You may set something up on your iPhone or on your computer that has a little chime ring, and you just take a deep breath, a momentary pause. But in that deep breath, you are suddenly becoming awake again to the fact there's more than a computer screen in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah. It may be a pause that you build into your calendar in another way. I know of some folks who have built pauses into their lives based on a regular part of their activity. They pause when they arrive home after work, before they enter the house. They pause before they enter another building. They pause before they answer the phone. And sometimes it is just a deep breath. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the pause when one task is finished before you begin another one.
So in the transitions.
In the transitions, they're built. So after the pause comes, or the pause or the stop, then comes the, what am I noticing? I'm suddenly awake to the fact that I can see the sun. Or I'm awake to the fact, if I'm driving, sometimes I pause my mind, and as I continue driving, and I will simply look out around me and see the colors that I see. So there's ways of noticing. And then the third step is that in the noticing, we recall who we really are. And that's the point where you are connected to others, as I was with my neighbor when we had shoe fly pie and coffee. We suddenly realized that we were sisters. I mean, I realized that. And perhaps we realize that I am a person with deep energy, with beauty. I'm a person who is connected to the universe. But in a pause, we are allowed to find ourselves again.
Mm.
And I think that's what brings us back again and again to a contemplative approach to living.
Wow. So what I talk about is that you see the specialness. So if you're looking for it, you will find it in somebody else. I mean, I think, you know, we're, you know, like I grew up being judgmental, you know, sort of naturally as a kid, you kind of like you have kid rules, you know, you have to do this, you can't do that. But, you know, when you really stop and see the beauty and the specialness and the uniqueness, there's a magic in that. It makes your life magical and you are enriched at a deeper level. Somehow you get connected to another perspective, another way of thinking that opens you up.
Right.
And so I don't call it contemplative awareness, but that's the same thing. It's like, okay, you know, I'm just going to let it go. And what can I learn from this person? How can I be improved, you know, in this moment?
Right.
Yeah.
One of the lovely things that is kind of fun for me is as I am going through some kind of experience where I brush against people casually, let's say a cashier somewhere or someone who is just getting on a bus at the same time I'm getting off or something, I will look at them and see them as a person I don't always do this, obviously, but it enriches my life. And if possible, the kind of energy that I'm giving out may enrich their life too.
Absolutely. And we have the opportunity to send positive energy at every moment and to everyone that we come in contact with. And I think that changes. It changes situations, it changes relationships, and it changes us.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so I'd like to talk about the heart now, mm-hmm. because I, for some reason, I am being led to the in-depth study of the heart, and I'm looking at it from an energetic standpoint, and it's so fascinating. But in terms of this context, I see that there is tremendous wisdom in the heart, that they're just discovering maybe that there's a brain in the heart. And I really am trying to tune in to my own heart, and what does my heart know, and what is my heart leading me, or how is it leading me, and where is it leading me? So maybe you could help us, because listening to your heart, I think, is very important to living radiantly. And how do you help people, or how do you see that, and how do you help people to tune into their heart energy?
Well, I think one of the ways of listening to your heart is listening to what you say. We aren't always aware of the words that we use, and sometimes when we start out a sentence, I feel it's really about what we are feeling, what our heart is trying to tell us at that moment. Clearly, some folks are tending more to make decisions, to find their way, their sacred way through life, leading with their heads, mm-hmm. and that is their how can I say? It is clearly the way they have learned, perhaps the way they have been born, but they also have a heart part in them that they can learn to listen to too. For some folks, they need perhaps to listen a little bit more to their thinking, to their heads. I think that paying attention to what your heart has to say to you is perhaps a little bit against our cultural norm.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
You know, we need to, you know, list things and make it clear. And this is important. I'm not wanting to put that down at all. But the tuning into what one heart is trying to say to you is something that I hear what you're saying. You'd like to pay more attention to it. Well, sometimes it is what is in your dreams. Mm. Our heart's truth comes to us. And that can be waking dreams, or it can be a vision you have of what you would like to have be someday. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it can be through intuitive knowing that you don't know what you know, but somehow you know it. You don't know how it's true, but you just feel it as a deep truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think that there can be ways of paying attention, not just to what your heart knows, but what your body might know. And they're, I think they're related, because we sometimes don't pay attention to what our body knows as well. There's a kind of exercise that is much detail, and it's included in my book. I call it Two Ideal Days. It invites you to describe in as much detail as you can what two ideal days in your life would be like. Now, that does not include winning the lottery or having some rich relative die, something like that. But, you know, your present circumstances kind of life. But what would be really ideal if you could describe it? Let's say you have a peaceful morning, cup of coffee on the deck with the sun rising or the cat on your lap. You go to work and you have friendly relationships with your coworkers, whatever it might be. And the 2 days could be a weekend as well, a weekend day and a work day. Now, the key to and the reason to doing this in as much detail as possible is it gives your heart's yearning a chance to come out.
Oh, yeah, beautiful, yeah.
To listen, then you write it all down. This is good, at least, because then you lay it aside for a day or two. so that you're kind of removed from it a little bit, and then you come back and read. Now, there's two things you do with it then. One is to say, what is there that I'm writing about here that is to just recognize that some of what two ideal days would be like is presently in your life. But the second thing is to notice what is not there that could perhaps be built into your present life. It may just be something small, like the sitting peacefully in the early morning, which I know someone who says that is exactly what I'm needing. It may be something small, but without having magic happen and you start to live two ideal days, there are parts of one's ideal days that can be built into one's present life.
Beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
Part of it.
Okay, we have to break for commercial again. I hate to interrupt, but
sorry.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Every weekend, take some time out of your schedule for New Reflections featuring Dr. Adam Rubinstein. It's a show about all things aesthetic, from skincare to plastic surgery, health and beauty. You'll learn about the aesthetic products and procedures to embrace or avoid. Each show will feature live, virtual, interactive consultations that you'll be able to follow along with and featured guests from the world of beauty and aesthetics. Listen Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, for New Reflections with Dr. Adam Rubinstein on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. There are a number of health and social services available to individuals for low cost or no cost. Now there's a radio program devoted to bringing you the information you need. Tune in to Outreach Today with host Melissa Jenkins-Simon. Our program promotes the benefits and services of CI Incorporated, providing health and social services over a wide spectrum of resources and agencies. We want to help you. Tune in to Outreach Today, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Dietley. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Dietley or her guest, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to radiantenergydoctor@gmail.com. Now, back to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health.
Okay, you are back with Energy Medicine Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley, and we're talking with Nancy Bieber about spiritual energy. Before we begin, I want to plug her book again, because I've read it and I really think there is so much in this book and there's something for everybody. And if you read it carefully, you will be transformed by it. So it's Decision Making and Spiritual Development, the Sacred Art of Finding Your Way. And you can get it through Skylight Pass. And I also want to advertise my new website, www.energizeforjoy.com. Please come visit it, and there's some free videos on exercises that that everyone should be doing, or it's a gift to you to be able to take care of your energy systems and start the day off with some energy awareness. Okay, Nancy, I think we should get into an exercise, and I was thinking maybe we could share the energy field exercise.
All right. I think that would be a good idea. I'm glad to be talking with Anne here and sharing about my book. And if you don't mind me saying, there was one little change I wanted to make in the title. It's Decision Making and Spiritual Discernment, in case people want to look it up. Let's talk about energy. The energy field exercise is one in which we are encouraged to pay attention to what builds up our energy and what drains our energy, basically. So if anyone who is listening would like to participate in this, I would invite you to consider just one area of your life, to consider whether it is home or recreational time, what could be one aspect of work, and to just reflect on it with me for a couple of minutes. First, to look at what might fill you with energy. All the aspects of things that bring you energy in this particular area of your life. It may be something having to do with people that brings you energy. It may not. It may be something that has to do with the satisfaction of organizing that brings you energy, or not. So as you reflect on that, take note of what fills you with energy in this area of your life. And then we want to take a minute, and I realize I'm just talking you through this. It will take more time than my talking for you to do it thoroughly. And we want to look at what could be draining you of energy in this area of your life. For some people, it is draining to be around people and constantly interacting with them. They need more solitude. So that may be draining you. It may be draining to have a kind of job where things are not clearly laid out, where you are having to deal with ambiguities all the time and you can't draw anything to a conclusion. That can be very draining for some folks. It may be draining simply because of the hours that you're working, if that's it, if you're looking at work. It could be draining because you are engaged in something that used to be fulfilling and it's outworn, but you're still doing it. Looking at what fills you and drains you. Now, be aware that it could be the same thing. Sometimes I am filled with energy from leading workshops and retreats, which I do frequently. And at the same time, I'm an introvert, so I need to step back, because it is also draining. So you could have the same thing on both sides. As you're discerning how your energy enters you and is drained from you, you're also helping yourself find some clarity about future steps you might want to take. It is knowing yourself that's an important part of it. So I think at this point, I let the folks who are participating in this exercise draw some conclusions on their own and decide if that helps them in their decision-making.
Beautiful. Okay, so hopefully they can continue that after. But let's ask about our truths. How do we come to know our truths? I'm thinking that all this, what you've laid out so beautifully with the willingness and the attentiveness and responsiveness, all of this is really a path for understanding what our truth is, what our passion is, what our purpose is, or meaning in our life is.
And we do need to have meaning in our life. I think that is an important part of having a fulfilling life, a satisfying life, is there is something that is important enough to us that we want to get up in the morning and participate in it. It may be another person, and it may be an activity that you really feel that you're making a contribution. It may be a goal that you're working towards. So,
yeah, and I think connecting it to that energy field exercise, it may be something, if you don't have meaning, that would be draining. Just the fact that you don't have that may be draining, but having that may stimulate you, may energize you, may activate. So, sorry to interrupt.
I like the word authentic. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about our truth, in some way what you're talking about it, what is the authentic person that you have within you? And basically, it is a life journey to grow into that. We have gifts within us, all of us do, and sometimes we get misshapen through hard things that happen in our life. But I believe, and this is a very positive outlook, that there is still within us that desire to grow into more wholeness, to grow into more of a harmony with divine energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And so that helps us to live more authentically, more who we're supposed to be, or where, you know, what energy we resonate with. That's, I think of everything now sort of in terms of energy. And when we're doing things that really, and we're on purpose and are passionate about, we're resonating with that higher energy. And you know, we actually can accomplish more because we've got all this energy working for us.
Yeah. One of the lovely things is that even when it doesn't look as though anything is happening, I think things are happening. And I have an exercise in this book, what I call the bulb in winter.
I remember that, yeah.
There is still, the bulb is full of what it can become. And it needs simply to rest until springtime comes.
Mm-hmm.
So that the waiting time also brings us some sense of, you know, within that bulb, there is energy waiting to do its thing.
Be expressed, basically.
Expressed, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you need lots of factors. You need the cold, you need the dark, you need the pause, and the energy.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, being open to receiving and giving energy is one of the best gifts that we can give. The closed downness is one of the most harmful things that we have in our lives, and that of course is to do with being afraid again,
mm-hmm.
not being wanting to take risks.
Sometimes we have to let go of something to move forward for spiritual growth. That may be hard for some to do, and I'm sure you see people like that they just can't move forward unless they let go of the past, or let go of a relationship, or let go of a job, or let go of something.
I think that is one of the hardest things. I mean, I have worked with people in all of those things that you've named, and letting go of something that is simply not going to be fixed in the way this person might want it to be. I know I was talking with someone the other day, and this kind of story comes up frequently, is that they really want an outcome in a relationship in a certain way. They want to rebuild it, and they want to have a communication with a family member again, and the other person doesn't want to have that happen. So the letting go has to be of some idealized relationship they were hoping to have, and accepting that maybe I'm going to have a more formal relationship with this brother, sister, parent, or child. And it's not going to be the telephone call, the texting all the time that I was hoping I could have. So the letting go sometimes is one of the hardest things. There's also a letting go because you're afraid of change.
Mm-hmm.
Not letting go because you are afraid of change. I want to cling to this really awful job because I know it. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with a number of people who they've done their career counseling work. They know that what they're in isn't healthy for them, even both physically and emotionally, and yet they cling to it. because it is so scary to make a large change.
Yeah, scarier, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, this has been so wonderful. I really appreciate you spending time with us. And I just think that you bring such peace, just the way you deliver your words carefully and with such generosity and such serenity. You know, you are a role model to us in our spiritual discernment. And thank you for writing this book. I loved it, and I really highly recommend it for anybody that is interested in this and really going deep with their lives and finding their truth and authentic selves and, you know, of course, to live radiantly. And again, it's my website is www.energizeforjoy.com, and Nancy's website is www.nancybieber.com. And until we meet again, live radiantly.
You've been listening to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with Dr. Ann Dietley. Please join us again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Thank you again for tuning in.